Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking about a big Titans win yesterday, 24-17 against the Chicago Bears. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I am adequate. I hope you gentlemen are as well today.
We are also adequate, we believe, today.
Good.
Absolutely. Adequate, is that how you would
say
it?
Fair way to put it. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
So, Corey, I'll start with the question of the day so far that we have. We also have a poll question on Twitter about it as well, at 102.5 The Game. How much credit do you give the Titans defensively for what they were able to do yesterday, and how much is it just the ineptitude of the Bears' offense?
Well, I think there's a little bit of room for both, for sure. I mean, they're still professional players on the other side of the field. We've seen these situations come up, you know, time and again in the National Football League. We saw it just a week ago in Cincinnati, where they played four backup offensive linemen and didn't get anything done. So the performance was unquestionably better. The Bears unquestionably, you know, have issues. I don't know why they don't push the ball down the field at all. I know the quarterback's not mobile. I know the protection isn't the best, but you've got to try to push the ball down the field at some point, and they did not. But I also think it's unquestionable that the effort and energy we saw from this Titans defense was different. And, you know, it's that whole addition by subtraction thing. I really wonder, you know, how big of an internal issue number 44 was with the team. Because when there's a guy out there that's not totally invested, everybody knows it, and it affects everyone.
So you and I talked a little bit in the press box, Corey, after the game. You would put it more at the addition by subtraction than the Roberson, Breon Borders, you know, Desmond King, some of these new guys coming in and giving them a jolt?
No, I think it's both. I do think it's both. Because, look, we've seen Roberson make plays in the past. And Desmond King is a former all-pro player, not to say that he's playing at that level now. I don't know. But these guys played with effort. I mean, and they played with energy. And I think that definitely had something to do with it. And when you combine with it a guy who was very aloof out on the football field. And, you know, what's the word we always hear about in the NFL is trust defensively. And if other guys aren't trusting that guy when he's on the field, you know, it can have an effect. So I don't know if I'm going to say, you know, one more than the other, but if I have to, I'm going to credit the guys who are on the field. They're the ones who made the plays.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, when you factor in the free agent signings – and the draft picks, the lack of production so far from both of those categories, did Desmond King in one day already prove that he's John Robinson's best move of the year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, he helped and he got the scoop and the score, but this is one practice. It has not been a great year for J-Rob. I don't think that there's any question about that. You know, but we've seen meaningful minutes from Chris Jackson for the Titans, and gosh, I can't even remember the rest of their draft class now at this point. I can just remember the guys who really aren't playing. Christian Fulton has played a lot for this team before he got hurt and had, I think he's got two interceptions, right? So, you know, Christian Fulton looks like a good pick. And look, I love the addition of Desmond King for a sixth-round pick. I mean, when we talked about the trade deadline, I said it's got to be a late pick because they can't afford to give up the early ones. And I thought, you know, there was value in this trade. This is everybody always jumps on the over-the-hill guy. You know, when Ed Reed's a free agent at the end of his career after he's released for the third time, everybody's like, oh, we got to go get Ed Reed. He's available. Well, the reason he's available is he's washed up. He can't do it anymore. This isn't one of those guys. This is a guy who, for whatever reason, got sideways with the Chargers, and you know, you're taking a chance that he can help you for a sixth round pick fill a major gap. And I think it was certainly, you know, worth the chance here to try to kind of put the brakes on what's going wrong. So I really like the move, and it's, you know, not entirely John Robinson's fault he had to make it. I mean, it's not his fault that Adoree Jackson's hurt and Christian Fulton's hurt and Ty Smith is hurt. Maybe need to know a little bit more about Jonathan Joseph. But I think this is a good move, but I'm not prepared to say his best move. If he's a Titans corner 3 years from now, it might be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting moving forward. I mean, obviously, Malcolm Butler's coming up here, you know, for the future. But even this year, I mean, if Fulton gets back and is growing, that's an interesting situation with Fulton and King there. But that's a problem they'd love to have. They need to have more guys that they want to play rather than fewer, right?
Well, I mean, look, Adoree Jackson is up after this year, right?
Right.
And, you know, Malcolm Butler's got 1 year left, and guys generally don't like to take pay cuts. And so, but nobody's going to pay Malcolm Butler $12 million a year after this. That's not going to happen. So inevitably he's going to leave because the Titans won't pay him what he's making or more. And so he'll go somewhere and play for less because people refuse to play for less for who they were playing for. So this will be Malcolm Butler's last deal unless he takes a U-turn of what 99% of what NFL players do. The question is, do you pay Adoree Jackson at this point? You know, you haven't seen him play really at all this year. And, you know, how much are they paying him this year? Like $12 million? I mean, it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so to keep him, he's going to want similar. So, you know, you're in a situation where Desmond King, if you like him, is the most affordable option. He's only making like $1 million this year. And so he's not in a position to demand $12 million a year. So maybe in 2 years, it's Desmond King and Christian Fulton and Chris Jackson for the Titans. We'll wait and see, but money does dictate a lot of it.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, obviously the offense has not been quite as productive since Taylor Lewan went down. How much of that has been, hey, man, they're just playing really good defenses in Pittsburgh and Chicago, had a bad day against Cincinnati, and how much of it is a concern to you at this point that the production hasn't been the same?
Well, I I'm not concerned that the offense isn't good anymore. Chicago's defense is really good, okay? And you had to do things to protect your quarterback in that game. And also part of playing that game was just simply not losing it. And so I think you scale things back on offense because making Chicago drive the field wins you the game. And that's what they did. So I think they were largely smart in the way they attacked this game, and they made the plays that they needed to make. One of the unfortunate scenarios here has been the removal of Jonnu Smith a lot from the offense, because we saw yesterday with those two plays back-to-back, you know, he can be a weapon. But, you know, when you're in the situation they're in, you've got to keep an extra guy in to block a lot of times, or at least chip, and it takes him out of a lot of the stuff that he was doing earlier in the season. So they may not quite be the same offense, but I mean, even against the Bengals, they went up and down the field. I mean, it's not like they didn't move the football. It wasn't their crispest day, but I mean, if they score a touchdown on that opening drive, I still think it's probably a different day. I do think Ryan Tannehill hasn't been quite as sharp as he was to start the season. You know, certainly there were still drops yesterday, but you know, we're used to seeing his accuracy be spot on. And, you know, when you put the ball just a little behind a guy and allow a defender to make a play out instead of it being a foot in front of him, that makes a difference. And not putting this all on Ryan Tannehill. I'm just saying he had set the bar so high he hasn't played quite to that level the last few weeks. I mean, even his first pass of the game was close to being a pick six in this one. And so, you know, he can play a little bit better. And I think largely they're handling the loss of Taylor Lewan maybe better than I expected.
Yeah, Tannehill had a couple on those outcuts that were kind of telegraphed and very easily could have gone the other way. I agree. I feel like, you know, he's probably at least a little bit affected by just knowing Lewan's not there, right? I mean, he knows the clock has got to be a little bit sped up. You asked about – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you asked about Derrick Henry after the game and the idea of was this a little bit of a plan knowing that you've got this Colts game Thursday? But it does seem like they're doing some things to cut that workload down a little bit, right, and try to think long-term here.
I agree. I mean, I think, number one, they like what they're getting from those two other guys. I think McNichols and Foreman have both looked pretty good. But look, I mean, we're in the first half and I'm watching Henry stand on the sideline with his helmet off for like numerous plays in a row. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like wondering if he's hurt, if he's going to go back in the game or not, because he's out that many plays. And then we start talking about it and we're like, yeah, they play Thursday night. They know they need him fresh, ready to go. And so they're going to peel it back a little bit in this game. And let's face it, he's not the best pass protector in the world. Go back and look at the video of the pass to Jonnu Smith, because he attempted to block Khalil Mack and that did not go well. So I do think that they dialed it back some for him Sunday, and I don't think Vrabel denied it in his answer at all. Now, he still got his carries. What do you have, 21?
Yeah, right.
But he was on. If he wasn't getting the ball, especially, he was out of the game a lot more than we would normally see. I don't know what the snap count is at this point.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. You guys have a great day. Quick week, so get some rest.
Absolutely. Yeah, you as too, well, buddy. My friend. When we come back, let's get your reaction to the big Titans win yesterday against Chicago. What do you make of this team now? What did you make specifically of the defense yesterday? Have the Titans turned a corner on that side of the ball? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
What adjustments did you see your group make today on third down that led to the success?
Felt like they were locked in during the week, and we played man, they were on tight, you know, zone. We gave them some different looks out of, you know, out of the zone, and guys executed it. And then again, be able to try to affect them a little bit inside and pressure them.
That was Titan Tech coach Mike Vrabel after the big win yesterday, 24-17 against the Chicago Bears. The Titans sit in sole possession of first place in the AFC South with a 6-2 record. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And by the way, you'll be able to hear Mike Vrabel in his press conference today at 1:15 on Darren Donick and Chase. Our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So make sure you're tuning in at 1:15 for that on Darren Donick and Chase. Let's go back to our poll question, Joe, at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. The question today, what do you credit more for yesterday's Titans win against the Bears? Is it the Titans stepping up, or is it the Bears being terrible offensively? So far, 337 votes. 55% say the Bears offense sucks. 45% says the Titans stepped up in a big way. So a close race there, Joe.
Close race. Where are my sunshine blowers at? Oh, there you go. Porth raising his hand.
I'm raising my hand. Going back to the Super Bowl, baby.
Porth, was this a turning point for you and your opinion of the Titans defense? Did that one game really just end it all for you in terms of your concerns?
100%.
Wow.
They're now on Indy and Baltimore level.
Wow.
And Chicago level.
You go.
Just get rid of Vic Beasley and that cures all the problems.
And Clowney.
It certainly seemed to help, yeah.
I bet you, I cannot wait for Skipman later. Oh, my gosh. Clowney should never play again. Oh, I can hear it now. Make it ring in my ears.
Hey,
Jared,
he's not the only one today. There's all sorts of people on Twitter. We had a texter earlier, CD texted in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. what do we make of the Titans looking better, all of a sudden being able to get to the quarterback with no Vic Beasley and no Jadeveon Clowney in the game?
Yeah. Just see it, Jadeveon. Thank you. Thanks for your service. I've been trying to get people to separate those two all year, and the Titans have separated those two. So yeah, we should trust what the Titans believe, right, at all times.
Big Joe Dubin on WSMV yesterday compared Vic Beasley to Yancey Thigpen. Said Thigpen is even better than Beasley.
Wow.
Or, excuse me, Clowney.
He compared Clowney.
Excuse me. Yeah, I said Beasley. I meant Clowney.
Okay.
He's talking as a free agent pickup.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Wow. What do you make of that?
Clowney has been a much better free agent pickup than Vic Beasley. Can anyone disagree with this?
Well, then Vic Beasley, yes. But what about old Yancey Thigpen?
Well, I don't know. You know, the funny thing, we mentioned Yancey Thigpen last week. You know how I know him is with the Steelers. And actually, see, you wouldn't, unfortunately. See, as a Packers fan, this is something that you know of. It's Packers
lore. I know
of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because the Lions win the division if he just catches a touchdown pass and he dropped it. So
I'm shocked that Yancey Thigpen dropped the pass.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen that before.
That was when the Lions were good with Barry Sanders, and that was, of course, Brett Favre era.
Yes.
But, yeah, that was a total gift to the Packers. So one of your division title banners is all to Yancey.
Thank you, Yancey. Appreciate your service here. Yeah. You're fine Americans.
So I don't even, honestly, when you guys brought him up last week in the free agent stuff, I had no memory of him playing for the Titans. So there you go. That probably says it all.
Most Titans fans would like to not have memory of that as well.
Did you have any memory of Carl Pickens in a Titans uniform?
Yeah, no, I remember that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Carl Pickens. I have memory of him as a Tennessee player, too.
Yeah, go Vols.
Great player.
Better days gone by in years past for the Vols.
I remember, you know, even from afar, the excitement of Carl Pickens, Tennessee.
That's right.
Never materialized.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam texts in, I want to get excited about the win, but seeing just how bad the Bears' offense looked, it's hard to say that the defense has turned a corner. What do you make of how much the Bears' horrendous offense factored into what we saw yesterday defensively from the Titans? I tend to think it's not quite that simple. I think there was different energy from the Titans. I think they played well. I think they were more aggressive. Now, maybe the Bears have something to do with that, with how bad they are offensively, but I do think there was improvement for the Titans defensively yesterday. It wasn't simply, hey, the Bears' offense is atrocious.
I'll say the best part about the Bears' offense is their receivers. They have some good receivers. You know, Allen Robinson's getting up there. He's still a good receiver. Definitely Mooney's going to be a nice player. Anthony Miller's a nice player. That's where I think the most encouragement should come is that there was some good coverage. There were some plays where Nick Foles got the ball out and the ball was where you wanted to throw it and the Titans were covering the receiver. And those are pretty good receivers. Now, the offensive line, well, yeah, banged up, tattered. They got a big break. But, again, compare it to a week earlier when it was the same thing. I mean, I don't know which line is worse, the Bengals from last week or the Bears from yesterday, but they're both bad.
Yes.
And one Titans team took advantage of that, and one didn't. So I think there was progress there. I think the biggest thing is, I mean, Foles is just, he's limited. You know, Foles can get the ball out, and he can dink it down the field. They never tried to do anything over the top, and he probably didn't feel like he could have time, which is crazy to think.
Yeah.
Against that defense. But I think it's, of course, it's a combination. The best part of it, I think, was the secondary effort. And maybe even that could be, you could say schematically, maybe that was also an improvement, that they got more aggressive and it was the right thing to do. And Breon Borders, he's been on the practice squad. This is his eighth freaking team, okay? 2017 undrafted free agent out of Duke. He's been all over the place. And he's been on the practice squad. Hey, sometimes a guy comes in one day and it just has that magical day and then they kind of revert back to whatever they've been. But I thought that was really encouraging from him, at least as a reserve moving forward. And, of course, Desmond King. Desmond King's for a six-round pick, that's a good pickup. John Robinson needed one of those.
Yeah, he did. And Desmond King, you know, it was interesting, number one, that he was even able to play yesterday. But you spend all week on Zoom, you learn the playbook, you come in. And, you know, he didn't do a whole lot in the game, but I thought played well when he was in. And obviously everybody points to the picking up the fumble caused by Jeffrey Simmons and bringing it back for a touchdown. So a great start for Desmond King to his career with the Titans. And honestly, Joe, it was just noticeable yesterday that they had more speed in the secondary. Like, not having Jonathan Joseph out there, I mean, you could tell. And I hate to keep harping on the guy because I think, I mean, he's been a good player in this league. But not having him out there made a huge difference for the Titans. It really did.
Yeah. No question about it. He's just a guy. That number, 33, has just meant, throw here.
Yes.
And now it's a different guy who can play better. Touchdown's a gift, but I thought overall Desmond King looked the part out there.
Yep.
After zero practices. So that's a good thing. He was in a hotel. He was telling us, after the game, hotel room. He's like, this chair is my best friend, sitting there all week on Zoom. He got the calls, made the plays. So yeah, he's going to be a nice pickup. And it's going to be really interesting when they get everybody back, how that looks. When they get Adoree back, when Christian Fulton comes back, how they organize things. But when you can have like Chris Jackson as like your fifth cornerback, you certainly feel better about things.
I thought yesterday was the best performance of the season by far for Daquan Jones. He was everywhere. I thought he was a menace at the line of scrimmage yesterday. I thought Harold Landry was outstanding yesterday. He finishes with one sack, but he was all over the place in the backfield yesterday. And of course, Jeffrey Simmons as well. I mean, making some big plays in the game. I thought he had an interception in the second half, and that I saw the replay after. And I think the ball just barely touched the ground after it was batted up in the air, I think by Landry on that play. But just a really good day, I thought, yesterday from the defensive front. And Daquan Jones in particular, I thought he was really good in the running game yesterday.
Yeah, they stopped the run, and they just have not been doing that. Even against teams that haven't really tried to run, they've been able to pop a few on them. And yesterday, that was totally shut down with Dave Montgomery. And then, of course, you have the forced fumble. And Jayon Brown was great, too. Jayon Brown was excellent yesterday, all over the field, looking more like, the Jayon Brown that we've seen when he's healthy. He also, by the way, took a shoulder shot at one point that left him kind of doubled over, but he was able to come back. But that's obviously something to watch with him. He's had that over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, and Daquan Jones, 2.5 tackles for loss yesterday, 7 tackles total, 5 of them solo. I mean, he was really good in the game yesterday. And then, you look at Jeffrey Simmons. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, was Simmons questionable for the game yesterday? Terry Bradshaw said that he wasn't going to play on the pregame show on Fox. I think it's apparent that something has been bothering Jeffrey Simmons, and he hasn't been 100%. But he made, again, yesterday, about 3 or 4 just incredible plays to leave his impact on the game, including the forced fumble that King picks up and runs for a touchdown. Just another impactful game for Jeffrey Simmons after not being all that noticeable against Cincinnati.
Yeah, he was off the injury report Friday. So I don't know what Terry Bradshaw is talking about. You say Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know. Terry Bradshaw still doing the pregame? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Not a big proponent of the NFL on Fox?
Yeah, clearly I don't watch it. I don't do a lot of pregame. I mean,
you're in the stadium. You're a working man.
Yeah, basically. So I didn't know that. Huh. Howie, too? You got Howie Long?
Yeah, he's still there.
All right.
Yeah,
that crew yesterday.
Good to know.
The play-by-play crew was awful.
It was atrocious.
It was awful.
Who was it?
Dick Stockton and Greg Jennings.
Oh, yeah. My guy, Greg Jennings.
One good. Greg Jennings.
Western Michigan, baby.
Within the first 2 minutes of the game, called the Titans the Texans, which is not the first analyst to say that about the Titans this season.
No.
That happened earlier in the year. I forget who did it. And then he called Firkser Fixer.
I heard about the Fixer
thing. And he just stumbled all over the name. I mean, he tried to pronounce it like 3 times and then just settled on Fixer.
So it's a good thing he didn't do Notre Dame Clemson, huh? Anthony the Fixer.
He was not the fixer yesterday. He kept dropping too many balls yesterday.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, I can't remember the last time he dropped a pass.
I know.
Corey Davis dropped one, too.
Yeah. They had some drops yesterday offensively. But overall, you knew there was going to be like one game where the Titans needed their defense to win the game for them and their offense was going to struggle. Yesterday, it was that game. Their defense won the game for them.
What Keyshawn Johnson thinks this team is, it finally actually happened in the field.
They played
that grinding defensive style that the Titans favor.
It only took 8 games to get to that point. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texts in, Tart did really, really good yesterday. Yeah. Very quick off the ball, especially on that fourth down play. Really liked what we did on defense.
No, that's a great point. Tier Tart, awesome name. And he's basically kind of taken Isaiah Mack's spot, you know, as a rotational guy on the defensive line. And I agree. That fourth down and a couple other plays, he looked good. You know, Laurel Murchison was in there some too. I mean, there was a lot of like, just like the whole thing. And sometimes I think it's just, yeah, you know your opponent is not very good and you pile on. But whatever it was, they had energy and confidence, and it has not been there a lot of this year.
But by the way, to answer Ben's question about Terry Bradshaw saying pregame about Jeffrey Simmons, it was not Terry Bradshaw. It was Peter Schrager.
Oh.
He was doing like his insider report. He's like, Clowney's out, and also Jeffrey Simmons is out. Big loss for the defense. What? I'm sitting there at 10:45. I look over at Amanda. I'm like, what?
Did I miss something?
And then I'm just, you know, refreshing Twitter of like, this cannot be true. That like the inactives just came out. Yeah. He was not listed.
Maybe he got Simmons mixed up with Vic Beasley. Maybe just now coming around that Vic Beasley's not playing.
That's a big mistake, man.
What do we think Vic Beasley did yesterday? You think he really, like, he was so late to training camp? Do you think he's left Nashville on time? You think he's late to that, too?
I don't know. I know that he liked on Twitter that he was released, though. He liked that.
sure he did.
He had a sack of Wendy's burgers.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yesterday. That was the only sack he's had all year.
All season long.
Ooh. Baconators, I hope.
Ooh, boy. When we come back, the Titans excelled yesterday on an area of the game that's been a big bugaboo for them so far this season. Have they turned a corner? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ and Harry's draft beers, plus Happ and Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown this Thursday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on AFC South rival, the Indianapolis Colts, at Nissan Stadium. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a Titans win yesterday, 24-17 against the Chicago Bears. And Joe, an area of huge improvement yesterday for the Titans was the third down defense. We had talked all week, really all season long, about how awful the Titans have been on third down defensively. What was the percentage? Around 61% heading into the game yesterday?
Yeah, almost 62.
Almost
like 61.9.
61.9 heading into the game yesterday. The Titans hold the Bears to 2 of 15 on third down yesterday. Chicago was 0 for 9 on their first 9 attempts on third down. A dramatic shift yesterday in third down defense efficiency for the Titans.
Yeah, they pressured, they covered. Two things we're not used to saying about this defense, but they did both. And it was, quote, coordinated. Mike Vrabel used that word. You know, Kevin Byard has used that word after some bad performances, which isn't just a comment on the defensive coordinator, but just on everything being connected. And it looked connected yesterday. Football and other F-words. F-words pod has a tweet about Breon Borders on Pro Football Focus. He played every snap. I didn't realize that. I mean, I saw it didn't look. I didn't remember seeing him leave, but
yeah,
played every snap. His PFF rating, 77.7. For whoever cares about these things, that's a pretty good rating. But he was targeted 8 times, allowed 5 catches, 41 yards. That's pretty good. I mean, you come out there and have numbers like that in your first time, basically. Well, certainly your first start and first extensive action of the season for your 8th team. That's pretty good.
So what was the difference yesterday defensively on third down for the Titans? Jayon Brown was asked about that after the game. Here's what Jayon Brown had to say.
What changed so drastically for the defense today? You guys obviously came in here needing to improve on third down and were exceptional for the majority of the game.
This week we emphasized communication and talking to each other to make sure we're all on the same page, and that followed through for the game into the game. And when it came down to third down, we made the plays, get off the field, and was giving our offense back the ball.
So you hear Jayon Brown there talking about communication, and that goes back to the overall theme of coordination that we've thrown out there many times here on the program. Like, it's probably a lot more complicated than just the communication part of it, but I thought when you factor that part of it in, and then you factor in that they were able to generate some pass rush, I thought, to some texter's point earlier on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, they played press coverage a little bit more, were a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage, not afraid to get beat over the top. Maybe a lot of that has to do with Chicago doesn't take a whole lot of shots over the top, but all of those factors combined I think played a big part in why the Titans were able to turn it around so dramatically yesterday on third down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through my notes on those third down stops. You got a variety, like right away, well, the fourth and one, of course, after a third down stop, because they only let them get four. It was a screen to Anthony Miller. You got Landry, you got Jack Crawford blown up the fourth and one. You get some pressure on a third and three on the next possession, three and out. You get some pressure on a third and six. Foles basically throws it away, three and out. The next time you got Landry and Roberson getting big-time pressure on Foles on a third and eight. Malcolm Butler, great coverage, and Allen Robinson, another third down stop. You got a third and two, and they try to run it on you, and Daquan Jones blows it up. There's another third down stop. So this is five possessions in. You know, you get a Daquan Jones stuffs. You got Jayon Brown with a blitz and a sack. Daquan Jones stuffs a run. You get third and 18. And they're not going to pick that up, you know. And then you get some Bears penalties on the next possession, things like that. But, you know, a lot of the same guys making the plays in there too. Jayon, you know, Beasley or Landry especially. Did I just say Beasley?
Oh, my goodness. Boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, he just can't get Beasley off the brain. But Beasley did. Actually, Beasley gets credit for not taking up a spot.
Yes.
He's like the 12th man. He actually should get a game ball for not being on the field.
The most valuable he's been all season long. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, thought Derek Roberson played pretty well yesterday. What did you make of Roberson coming in his first action of the year?
I thought he played well. I did. I thought that he was active. I thought he beat his guy a lot. You know, he was like the second guy there a lot of times. But, you know, he was there to clean up some stuff. And I thought it was promising. I think that if you project this ahead, and I'm sorry, Jared and all the Clowney haters, but you get him back with Landry, and then you can have Roberson rotating in there, I think that's a decent possible trio. And then how do you move all that around and use them, you know, in certain packages? You know, we'll see. But I think there was some promise there. Wyatt Ray got some work yesterday. I didn't notice him too much.
No.
You know, he occupied a spot up from the practice squad. You get Clowney back, and I think I thought all year, we've been talking about Roberson, like, give him a chance. He showed something last year, and I think he showed something again yesterday.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Frederick from Stockbridge, Georgia, text in. I think it was more about trusting the next man to do their job for the Titans defense yesterday on third down. How much more trust do you think was out there yesterday, just from maybe it's simple as not even having Jonathan Joseph out there and being able to cover?
Yeah, I think, you know, the big thing coaches and players talk about, like, know where your help is on defense. And that's about, again, that's good coaching. That's players who just do their job, don't get outside themselves and try to do someone else's job. And maybe Joseph caused some people to, you know, to overcompensate or whatever. I think mostly it's just that he got beat and gave up completions. But not having him out there, just like not having Beasley out there, you know, you don't have a big negative force on your defense right now. I mean, two real negative forces for different reasons. Joseph was trying his butt off. He can't play anymore. And Beasley just got free money this year.
Yeah, and then switching gears to the other side of the ball, let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, seeing A.J. Brown score on double coverage shows a big positive to me for the Titans offense moving forward. That touchdown catch that he had, there were two guys draped all over him, and it was a perfect throw by Ryan Tannehill. And really, A.J. Brown was the one thing the Titans offense had going in the first half for them offensively yesterday. I mean, they didn't have the ball much in the second half, had a big response after the Bears cut it to 17-3, to go back down the field and make it 24-3 in that game, that to me was the nail in the coffin. But not a ton done yesterday from the Titans offensively, but they made just enough plays in the game to get the job done.
Yeah, when Tannehill threw that pass to A.J. Brown, I was like, what is he? You know, you immediately see he's doubled. And I was like, man, there's no chance there. He put it in just the one spot that you had to put it in. And, yes, to your point, 17-3, that was the most impressive offensive possession for the Titans of the day. They went right down the field on that defense.
Yep.
Just to end any chance that this was going to be a game. And they used Janu.
And Henry popped a big run on that drive, too.
That's right. Henry had a 26-yarder. So that was a good sign from the offense because it wasn't a great day. They only had 55 plays, but that was a big response drive to basically end the game. And the fact that it got down to an onside kick at the end is disappointing for the Titans, but that basically ended it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville text in. I think we can now say that A.J. Brown is a number one wide receiver. We had that discussion last week. Is A.J. Brown a true number one wide receiver in the NFL?
By my Coy definition, yes. He already was. But, yeah. So let's, again, let's set the terms. They're different than, like, Jared and the GM when they talk about it. Like, is he a top-tier receiver? I don't know about that. What's your tier? I know some people, someone said to me yesterday, he's top five receiver in the league. I'm like, well, I don't know if he's top five.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
But I think top 10, you can make an argument for him right now. Is that the top tier? Is he right up there with the guys like, you know, Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins and guys like that, the absolute top? I don't know. I don't know about that.
Is he up there right now?
Is he a number one? Of course. Yeah, definitely a number. Like, by my definition.
Yeah,
absolutely. He's the number one, a very good top receiver for a team.
Well, he's certainly the best receiver they've had around here in a long time. Very long time.
I would say he's probably second tier. However you break those tiers down, he's probably not quite up there with that very, very top group. But he's second tier and rising.
But another 40-yard or more touchdown catch for A.J. Brown yesterday. He's had six of those since he's come into the league. That leads the NFL. So big play threat still there from A.J. Brown.
And just, again, with his ball with the ball in his hands as a run-after-the-catch guy, I'm trying to think of – I think he could be – you could argue he's number one in the league. I think you could argue that no one better – once he gets the ball. Now, Michael Thomas is also great at that. I mean, there are other guys, of course. But just as get him the ball quickly and then he becomes, like he really does, become a big-time, fast running back in the open field.
He does. And the one thing I've learned about A.J. Brown this year is he is faster than I thought he was. Like, I knew he was fast. But when he ran away from everybody in that Pittsburgh game, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting faster. That's freaky if you're a defense going up against A.J. Brown. Because, look, he's a physical guy. He's tough to bring down. We knew that. But the speed part of it has been what stood out to me this year is how quick he looks out there.
And going vertical to him is really new this year, too.
Yeah.
How much did they do that last year? I remember there was one play in Oakland.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it that much. It was mostly – I think it was also a rookie. You'd probably maybe keeping things more simple, give the ball in his hands. But now they're sending him on those routes, and he's outrunning people.
Yeah.
He had the catch in Houston down near the goal line. That was, what, like 30, 40 yards?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They used him downfield probably more than you think last year.
Boy, it wasn't much, man. So. It wasn't that much. I mean, I frankly, I don't remember this play you're talking about.
All right, but so what's your definition of downfield, like 30, 40 yards?
Just basically a like post or a go route.
Vertical route, yeah.
Yeah, vertical route. I mean, I don't think he ran a ton last year. Now he may have run more than they didn't target him on those much at all. If there's one, there's two now.
Sure,
that I can think
what about
of
the
last
Falcons
year.
Touchdown? Was that a catch and run or was
yeah,
that was a deep ball?
Yeah, that was a catch and run.
Okay,
yeah. But you know, I mean, I haven't broken down all the film from last year. It does.
What about the Falcons play?
What about the Texans play? What about that touchdown against the Falcons in the second quarter?
Remember that one time? But I feel like it's more of a thing. And I feel like he looks faster.
Yeah, no, I feel like he does too. Yeah. When we come back, did the Titans newcomer yesterday already establish himself as the best move made this year by John Robinson? We'll debate that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
And they flip it out to Montgomery, who loses the ball. It's picked up. Titans, and and it's the newcomer, Desmond King, who's going to run it in for the touchdown.
For him not to be able to play with you and then end up getting a touchdown and play as many snaps as he did, what does that say about a guy like that joining your team?
I mean, the touchdown is what it is. The ball's on the ground, and, give him credit for scooping, and somebody obviously helped him out by causing a fumble. But, again, the professionalism that he showed, he was excited to be a part of our team, excited for a fresh start. It looks like his teammates have certainly embraced him, probably was earned a lot of respect of theirs by understanding what we were doing, by going through those Zoom meetings. And when he came in and met with them and they talked and they were in the film room on Saturday, they probably respected him for the way that he prepared to get to that point.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday discussing Desmond King, the newcomer for the Tennessee Titans, and the impact he had against the Bears yesterday. And obviously, Joe, the play that sticks out is the scoop and score for Desmond King to put the Titans up 17-0 yesterday in the game. Jeffrey Simmons causes the fumble. Desmond King picks it up and runs it all the way back to the house. And, outside of that, I thought he was good in coverage. He looked like he knew what he was doing out there. There weren't any mental lapses that got in his way after not having any practices with the Titans this week. So I'll toss the question out. Did Desmond King already prove to be John Robinson's best addition so far this year by process of elimination from some of the additions that we've talked about a lot here on the show? And let's quickly go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in. He can't even come close to saying it's the best move of the year. He was in the right place at the right time once and might not even end up being one of the top four corners by the end of the year if he causes locker room problems. You'll have to wait and see. Well, I disagree. I think you can absolutely put him in the conversation because all the other pickups, for the most part, have been horrible thus far for the Titans. So he has to at least be somewhere in the conversation because Beasley didn't work out. Clowney has not worked out so far. The draft picks, Isaiah Wilson hadn't been on the field yet. Darrington Evans has been hurt basically the whole year. And now Christian Fulton is hurt. So there's not a ton of options you can point to from John Robinson with a lot of success stories so far this year. I mean, Tyson Brilo, probably the one guy right now that you're like, yeah, that guy's pretty good signing. Very good for him to come in and fill in for Taylor Lewan. But Desmond King, I mean, pretty good debut for the Titans yesterday.
Well, it's good. Yeah, it's good to get him for a sixth-round pick. And I can only think of one. He gave up a 34-yarder to Anthony Miller in the third quarter, and he got beat on that one. But for the most part, he seems solid. I think the locker room problem thing is fair to bring up, absolutely. It's also interesting talking to Desmond King yesterday, and that was the first time he was made available after the game. I didn't realize he knows a lot of these guys as well as he does, but most of the secondary works out with him at the same place in California in the offseason. So he has some relationships with those guys. Obviously, he knows Amani Hooker. They both went to Iowa. They had 1 year together at Iowa.
Yep.
I mean, look, it sounds like there was some kind of issue he had. I didn't hear anything. This wasn't like what's his name from Baltimore, where it's like
Earl Thomas.
Yeah, Earl. Where it's like the players are like, please get him out. Right.
I don't think it was a player problem in the locker room in L.A.
Right.
It was a playing time problem.
It was player problem. It was and being late to stuff and things like that and getting disciplined for it and not being happy and the Chargers trying to move on from him, which to me is more of a concern of like, why wasn't he good enough to overcome that stuff?
Right.
If he's that good, if he's just all pro corner, then why are you so eager to move on from him? That is probably a bigger concern, but I don't think the trouble in the locker room thing's a big storyline here with him. We'll see how good he is. To your point, Robbie, there's nothing that's been all that impressive. I'm still going to stick with Clowney is overpaid, but my goodness, good thing they got him. I'm also going to say I think Fulton looks like a pretty good pick, as Corey Curtis said. He's been hurt, but I think he's going to be a pretty good player. Chris Jackson's a good low draft pick. Tyson Brilo is a clutch pickup of a guy off the street who got cut by the Falcons. Slim pickings. If you're talking about the best offseason move, the best two moves are signing Tannehill and Henry, but you're talking about acquisitions.
Additions, yes.
Yeah. Right now, he's in the discussion after
he's got to be.
After no practices with the Titans, so that's impressive.
And speaking
or
of,
unimpressive. Or,
yeah, depending on how you look at it. It was an interesting week last week for Desmond King. He was traded to the Titans a week ago today. Had to go through COVID protocols, clear everything. Spent most of the week in a hotel room learning the playbook and learning about the game plan for this game against the Bears on Zoom. Here's what Desmond King had to say after the game yesterday about his transition to the Titans.
Why was it, I don't want to say it was easy, but why was it so smooth for you to be able to come in and pick this defense up and have the excellent communication and everything that you guys were able to have?
It was definitely a challenge. I would definitely say that just because, you know, I wasn't in practice. So I was under the COVID protocol because of the trade. So I was sitting in the hotel literally for about literally most of the day and just, you know, doing Zoom meetings with the team. And then I'll be in the playbook. So, I mean, it was really tough. That was the challenge for me to be prepared to come in and play Sunday. And I felt like, you know, I handled it the right way. Going out there with my teammates, they helping me communicating as a team. But that's what we're here for. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as teammates out there. You want to communicate with the person that's next to you. I like the person. Like Coach said today, well, yesterday in our meeting, in the team meeting, he said, don't just act like it's one person that just came in. Act like everybody just came in. That's how we need to communicate to make sure everybody on the same page.
So that was Desmond King after the game yesterday talking about the transition that he made, and it really is impressive, and you heard Vrabel talk about it after the game as well. Crediting Desmond King with, you know, diving into the playbook right away, getting ready and making sure there wasn't this big drop-off in terms of what they could ask him to do defensively and just not knowing where to be. I thought Desmond King, for the most part, knew what the Titans were doing defensively. They communicated well, and he fit in nicely in his first game, and you would expect that to continue to get better as they move along. He's got some actual practice time with this group.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting when at some point, I swear it's going to happen, you can put Butler with Adoree Jackson on the outside. Right now, Desmond King in the slot. Could there be a position battle at some point this year? Christian Fulton gets healthy, and it's King or Fulton in the slot. But either way, think about that secondary and how it could look compared to some of these combinations that the Titans have had to put out here this year. Again, like yesterday, the game starting, I'm like, oh, Breon Borders, there he is on the outside. Hey, he responded. He played pretty well, but it's still not where you want to be.
It is not, but to your point, they played really well, and we'll find out Thursday. Now, there's a quick turnaround this week for the Titans, but we'll find out, I think, a little bit more Thursday about whether or not the Titans have truly turned a corner defensively when the Colts come in. Not a great day offensively for the Colts yesterday, and we have a lot of time this week to break down the matchup between the Titans and the Colts.
Not a lot of time.
Well, I guess not a lot of time, but
we've
got
two
reactions days.
This week. We got two reaction days this week. That's kind of fun, right?
Doesn't that fire you up?
It does. I'm going to be just a mess Friday. Fires me up, too. I'm going to start pre-drinking the coffee.
Are you?
Middle-aged coffee addicts?
Yeah.
That's Porth's...
Your party name?
Yeah, that's my party name. Middle-aged Maka.
Yep. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon text in, still definitely don't have a Super Bowl roster with this Titans group right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say this right now is not a Super Bowl team. The question is it possible, given all the resources they have, the personnel resources they have, that it could be a team that could make a run? I am not discounting that possibility
right
now.
The one thing that you have a problem with is who plays in Kansas City. That's ultimately the discussion that you come back down to in the AFC. Is your roster good enough to compete with Kansas City? I mean, that's what every team in the AFC is trying to answer right now.
So you're not buying the 8-0 Steelers, huh?
I mean, yeah.
It may go through Pittsburgh this year.
It could. They're undefeated. But who would you take right now, Chiefs or Steelers?
Chiefs.
Give me some Chiefs.
Yeah, give me some Chiefs, too. And you're right. That's the game. That's if you got to that game again, first of all, that would be a heck of a achievement to get there.
Sure.
You'd have to play like you played offensively for a half, and then you somehow have to put Patrick Mahomes to the ground, tip some passes. You know, you'd have to come up with some stuff probably that's a little bit smoke and mirrors.
Maybe there's the Clowney game. He's just waiting, biding his time.
Could be.
To the AFC title game.
Clowney may have made the play on that play that won that game for them. Patrick Mahomes running all over the place, everybody falling all over themselves. Maybe Clowney tackles him.
Maybe so.
He would have been a turnstile.
Wow. Are you out on Clowney now, too?
I'm approaching. I'm willing to give Clowney more time, but I'm approaching.
Really?
Yep.
So yesterday, you know, Roberson and company come in without Clowney in there, and Porth is almost ready to pull the plug.
So you just I'm not saying pull the plug, but it's just at what point is he going to actually be this, quote, game record that everybody talked him up as in the offseason?
It's been massively disappointing so far. There's no question about that. And when we come back, we'll talk about that a little bit. Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN will join us, ESPN NFL analyst. We'll get into a whole variety of things with him regarding the Titans and the rest of the NFL. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.